You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners, faithful listeners. Welcome to another episode. I like that word, episode.
Episode.
Or iteration is another one.
I like that word.
You like
faithful.
That word?
Faithful.
Okay. Faithful.
Faithfulness.
Yes, yes, like and many word. Are of the, a biblical response. And we're going to be, we'll be getting to our theme for the day in just a moment. But I'm delighted to welcome again my wonderful co-hosts. We're like a family. Yeah, you know, that's really cool. And you know, we sit around the table here in the studio, and it's kind of like a family dinner with the donuts. Helps.
I knew that it was going to be talked about, right, Stephanie?
You know, which we appreciate.
Donuts should be like a fifth co-host or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Dunkin' Donuts should take up sponsorship of this program. And actually,
you know what? They probably would.
They might.
Yes.
They might, but I'll tell you, that reminds me, as someone can sponsor this program, either partially or in full.
If there's another donut place that's better than Dunkin' Donuts, why don't you send us a box?
And
we will happily receive them. And we will talk about them every Tuesday.
We would mention every week.
We will.
The biblical response is partially or fully sponsored by whatever donut company.
Oh, boy.
But in lieu of that, you know, it's true that if you're a listener out there and God's put on your heart to say, well, let me do something significant with some of the money God's given me.
Yes.
And it's already there for offering money. And I'm thinking it's the actual listener's support for an hour of programming is somewhere in the neighborhood of $50-some, I think. So
okay.
You want to pick up this program, you can call 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. Speak to the manager, ask for Jonathan McLean, and begin that process, and we'll all be celebrating that. And so I'll move on from that. Really didn't intend on pitching, but, it is available.
Absolutely.
All of our live programs are. But I want now to give God thanks for Keith Masters, who is here with us, coming all the way from Delray Beach.
From Bucky's.
From Bucky's.
Listeners, no, he is wearing a Bucky's hat.
Bucky's could be a sponsor.
There you go. I know.
They're going to be in the area soon, right?
I've got my Bucky's hat on.
And your Bucky's cup.
And I've got my Bucky's cup.
Yeah, I saw that.
You're right.
I'm going to tell you. It is the best. What do they call these big cups?
Huge cup.
No.
They're called big cups. I don't know.
No.
Coffee tumblers.
I mean, gee whiz.
Yeah.
They're enormous.
They're enormous. Yeah. You know, everybody knows them. Everybody has one. You know, you carry it. But and it also glows in the dark. And it, it glows in the dark.
Now we know.
Really?
And yeah. And it was
now we
right,
know.
Land of the free.
Puppies. I know, I love
home
that.
Of the home of the beaver.
Yeah. Home of the brave.
Yeah.
Home of the brave.
I need one of those.
I know,
beaver,
I know.
Right?
So,
I need one of those.
But he's got the American flag hat on.
You
I
came
do like
of
that.
Course.
Today.
Yes. Yeah.
You came prepared.
As
I
well
say.
He should.
It's a hint about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, they had me at 22 feet of beef jerky, right?
Right.
When we were driving up to Jacksonville a couple years ago, and they had the sign, you know, there's the billboards, and one said, over 22 feet of beef jerky. And I said, I got to see that. So
it works.
We stopped.
And they do.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah. And they have a lot of other things, too. Yeah. So if you're a traveler and you like to stop places for good
We've
food.
We've given a lot of commercials this morning here.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody's sending us money, but that's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
That's okay.
It's
so
fun.
Anyway, good to see you, my brother.
Good to be here.
Good to
David.
Have you with
Thank
us.
You. Yep. Yep.
And Stephanie God. Jacobson is also here. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, I must say, Stephanie is, God send Stephanie all over the place.
Uh-huh.
So she has more air miles than, you know, the Holy Spirit, I'm sure.
Well, you never know.
But it's you never know. But
no.
But I mentioned this, and because we, number one, and Bulletproof Alliance is a very incredibly viable, growing ministry, ministering the postal board of women and bringing the stories out into the church and into the world. Mm. And that's just a marvelous ministry. Thank you for saying yes to God, Stephanie. It does mean, as the ministry is growing, and so traveling is going to be a lot more for you.
Yeah.
And we're going to be absent from the program for several months.
I will, and I'll be checking back in once in a while to see if there's anything that I need to be, you know, talking about that's going on around the nation, which is newsworthy.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I would just like to thank the listening audience this morning. I didn't think about this till just now, but I would like to thank the listening audience for letting me cut my teeth on them coming on and literally never having done this before and just stepping into it and enjoying the fact that, you know, nobody's, well, they may shut us off, but I nobody has called in and said, we don't want to hear you guys anymore. it's been fun. And I don't plan on this being the last time I'm here. But one of the things that's happened is it's got me ready for the next stage of what God's doing.
Amen.
And part of that is, I mean, anybody that knows me personally knows that I can talk till the cows come home. But it has kind of given me this focus that I've had to really focus in on some things and be more just detail oriented. I was not like Anne. She was the journalist and had to dig and search. That's not been my forte.
But the Lord has totally grown you in it. Right?
He has.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He has. And I appreciate the fact that y'all took a chance on me.
And she's not going anywhere because she's talking like she is.
Well,
for a while
I am.
We'll allow you to be gone for a little bit to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
But that seat you have is yours.
Thank you. Well, I would appreciate the prayers while I'm gone. And, you know, again, there is a chance that if anybody wants to help me across the nation fight abortion, please go to my website. Mm. You know, you can donate there. Honestly,
What's the website?
It is bulletprooftruth.org. And honestly, I had someone come up to me Sunday, and I did not know this person. I led worship at our church and didn't know this person. And he said, I just feel like I need to know what you're doing. And I hadn't said a word.
Wow.
And the next day, there was a little bit of cash in my 501, and I thought, Lord, thank you.
Wow.
I just don't know where it's coming from. God knows.
God knows.
I've never really asked for funds at all. This is actually my first time publicly, literally asking. Mm. You know, I am going to need help. So
the Lord knows, but the Lord also is the one bringing it.
He is, and He has brought it from some strange places.
Yes. So the Lord knows, and it's the Lord.
And it's fun.
It.
I mean, I had no clue how that would feel because it felt very wonky at first. Because I don't do that. You know, I give. Mm-hmm. I'm a giver, and so this is bigger than me. It's much bigger than me, and so I have a lot of work to do. And God just keeps putting the steps in front of me. So thanks again for allowing me to be here and just
praise the Lord.
I think really fast. I know that this isn't part of the conversation this morning, but the Lord just put this on my heart that I think that a lot of Christians have trouble receiving the grace and the blessings that God wants to give them.
Yeah.
And what you just said now is an open invitation for the Christians to open their arms and receive Jesus.
Amen.
And receive God's blessings upon them. Mm. And just understand, because it's God's love, not for anything that anybody is doing.
No.
So
no,
it's just because of God's love.
Exactly.
Right. Just because of God's love for them.
It is.
To open their arms and to receive.
Well, in the early on.
Really big right now, Stephanie. Really big.
Absolutely.
Early on in my walk with the Lord, I knew that grace was flowing in my life. I said, Lord, you know, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. And He said, no, you're right. You don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But I made you worthy.
Yeah.
Right. I chose to give you. You must receive.
I know.
Right.
Receive,
you know, and I keep hearing it. We don't ask for blessing
enough. Right.
So
accept.
Church.
Receive.
Well, yeah. And this actual conversation may actually weave some threads into our discussion today.
Absolutely.
But in order for us to get started, I have to go to Ann. Say, Ann Limhoko, welcome again.
Thank you for having me. I think it's a wonderful privilege to be here.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It is.
Amen.
I don't know how long we've been on the radio together, but it feels like a long time. And, and it's a good thing because
it's a good feeling,
I actually love coming to the radio every Monday and Tuesday.
It's almost a year and a half. Mm.
It's been that long.
Almost. Well, December. Last...
Oh, you're right.
Right. We're almost into June, and that would year and a half for this program.
Yeah.
And Ann joined us on the front line.
Mm, yes, you were here a lot
longer. You've been there for over 2 years with us.
Today is our 67th show.
67th show. Wow.
67th show. So I just wanted
Praise God.
Wow.
Got it started. You know, he'll keep us going as long as
the trials
as he needs
and
to.
The tribulations.
We still love each other.
Those Monday afternoon vlogs.
Of all the live programs that I produce, this is the one that generates the most controversy within the listening audience. And we understand that.
That means it's effective, in my opinion. Yeah. It means it's effective.
We'd love to hear, actually, from you when we invite you to call in, which we'll do in a little bit. Based on once we get started, but if you have thoughts, you know, we're welcome to hear differing opinions. You're welcome to share them. Please understand that you don't have 10 minutes to share. Although I know when I have a differing opinion, I may need a half an hour. But we'll invite you to synthesize your concerns, and then when you're done, we'll thank you for calling, and then we'll move on with the program. We may make a comment based on what you shared, or may not, but. We do invite you to call and share what's on your heart. Ann is going to set us up today for what we're going to be talking about. So,
I want to say that, first of all, because you were talking about people calling in, that we welcome other viewpoints because we would love to hear, right? And we will listen.
Yeah.
And we will respond as the Lord leads, if the Lord allows us to respond. So everybody's welcome to call.
That's right. But we're not going to debate you because that's not a part of the format for the program.
Oh, shucks.
I am. If we had another hour.
I might have to pull that microphone from his mouth.
Yeah. I can turn him off from the board here. Not that I'd want to.
That's true. You have the producer power.
If you want to talk to Keith, you have to go south and go to the street because he's out there.
Go to Delray Beach downtown.
Yeah, right.
He'll debate you.
Go find him. He'll talk.
He'll be wearing
the
God apparel.
Yeah,
God apparel.
He'll be wearing fluorescent orange or something, and you'll spot him right away.
Anyway, so to get back on what we are talking about, so you guys want to pivot. Let's pivot, okay,
Let's
guys?
Pivot. Yeah.
Let's
okay.
pivot.
It's a continuation from last week.
Yes. It's a continuation from last
because
week.
Because it's a big subject.
It's a big subject. You're right.
It is.
We are going to be getting ready to celebrate our 250th anniversary with the big prayer event in Washington, D.C. this Sunday.
Anne's going to be there.
This is huge, guys. This is huge. What President Trump has decided to do, and he actually wrote a resolution. Have you guys seen the resolution?
I haven't read it.
Where we're rededicating this country back to the Lord. And we will talk later about scripture where King Josiah does this in 2 Kings. And as the king goeth, so does the nation. And this is going to be a huge event. Like, we're going to be using scripture, prayer. We're putting Lord at the front and center. And this is going to be, I'm reminded of when Solomon dedicated the temple. Do you remember? Stephanie talked about this last week.
I was there. No, I'm just...
I didn't know you were that old, but yeah.
You know, I look good for it.
But
she still makes notes on clay tablets.
Almost. Anne's over there on her computer.
I'm on my iPad and she's like, I'm clay tablets.
I've got all this paper lined out here. I'm old school.
Oh boy. Sorry, audience, but we're listeners. But
we're allowed to have fun every now and then.
The event is called Rededicate 250, right? Rededicate 250. Yep. And I'm telling you, people from every part of the nation is going to be going to Washington, D.C. to celebrate.
Yeah.
So we talked about this last week, but we're going to pivot a little this week. And we want to talk about the spiritual history of our nation. The fabric that you see from day one of the founding of our nation, even during the Revolutionary War, even before that, where God's hand was critical and was only by allowing his hand and inviting, because our Continental Congress invited God to come into the forming of our nation. And our wonderful co-hosts here, Stephanie and Keith, will be talking more about that. But, you know, there's a lot of, let's just call them academics in this world, that deliberately try to change our truth and the founding of our nation. And that's why we need to talk about this, that we are a Christian nation, and we need to publicly acknowledge God's role in the founding of our nation. So we're going to focus more on seeing God's hand and the miracles. There have been miracle after miracle
that
we see
that.
In the last 250 years. And we're going to continue to believe God for miracles, because it's only by God pouring out his spirit today do we have a chance. And we have to repent. We always talk about that famous verse, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So President Trump, in essence, is leading our nation to seek his face along with all the Americans. Even if you can't be there, you can watch it on TV. David's going to hopefully hear it on the radio as he's on beyond the radio. But God will then hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm going to punt it to Stephanie. Here's Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I talk a lot about self-governance on this radio show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I taught my children, hopefully taught them well, about self-governance. You don't hit your brother. You don't hit your sister. You keep your boundaries. You know, that's self-governing in a very small portion. Mm. But, you know, when the Mayflower came over and landed in 1620, you talked about miracles. And I want to give a little bit of a foundation, but then I want to talk a little bit about a miracle that happened that, I mean, it could have happened any way, but when you look at it from the bigger picture and from where we are sitting right now, it's like, that couldn't have been anything but God. And that's what praise I God. Hope that people see on a daily basis in their own lives right now. Mm. And that's why the history of how this nation started is so important for us to remember. You know, every nation had a king. I mean, that was
the system.
The system. Yeah. Because why? Back in Samuel, and they wanted a king. They wanted a king. And God said, no, you don't need a king.
But he gave
I'm
them
the
one.
King. Mm-hmm. But he gave them one because they asked for one. Well, when the pilgrims decided that the Church of England and it, essentially the Catholic Church as well, had strayed from the teachings and the established religious rituals and things that had come in, it went against the teachings of the Bible. And so that's what really got them escalated to decide to take the trip over to the U.S. or to the Americas. And they first went to Holland. You know, I'm sure everybody knows this history. It was really fun to go back and just read it because it's like, oh, man. You know, you wonder what they were doing when they got on the ship and how many people there were. And it was so
how
crowded.
Scared they may have been.
Yeah, not knowing, you know, who was going to be on the ship and whatnot. But they had trouble over there because they had trouble adjusting to the Dutch culture. And they had financial difficulties. So they decided that they would try to flee to the Americas. And the pilgrims were some that they strictly honored the Sabbath. I mean, they were very strict about that. Mm-hmm. They studied the writings of the earlier Protestants and separatists like Martin Luther and John Calvin, and they established a printing press, which I think is hilarious. They illegally distribute the new separatist and the Puritan books in England, which it's like, you know, you're doing godly things and then you go and do illegal things in order to make the godly things happen. And it's like, oh boy, okay, where is this going? But I guess the word does say to be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves, right? As far as what they believed there were only two sacraments, which was baptism and the Lord's Supper. And one of the interesting things that I read last night was that they didn't even think that marriage really was a sacrament or a covenant. Hmm. It was more in the, how did they say, it was more in the legal portion. They mm-hmm. didn't really consider it a God. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It was a civil affair. That's what it, to be handled by the state and not a sacrament.
Okay.
So there were some things that I was like, that's an interesting thought. So, you know, I'm sure they weren't perfect in everything that they did. But I just want to go to a little bit about how they got here from England.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be two ships.
Yeah.
And the one had trouble and had to turn back. So
Speedwell. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those people went ahead and went home. They were tired. They were like, I'm not going. This is too mm-hmm. much. And a lot of them, though, got on the Mayflower. So it was more crowded than what they, but there was about, I think there was 102 people that ended up going and on the Mayflower. And it took them 66 days to get across from England over to what was supposed to be Virginia. They were supposed to land in Virginia. And here's where I want to kind of detour, pivot, like you said mm-hmm. earlier, because there was a miracle that happened in that moment when they were on the ocean, mm-hmm. you know, and they have this plan, they're headed towards the Americas, and you know, I'm sure they were all tired and hungry, and
they didn't have sophisticated tools for GPS.
Had nothing. Yep. It was GPS. Yeah, that would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But when they got there, when they got close, there was bad weather, and the weather took them south, and they didn't. Or weather took them north. They had to let go of the sails because the mm-hmm. sails, it was going to rip them up. And so they had to let go and just let and drift wherever they were going to go. Finally, they caught up with the winds and stuff, and they started to go south, and something would not allow them to do that. I don't know whether it was the weather. I who knows what it was. It was God's providence, I'll be honest with you. It was God's providence.
Yes.
Okay, so as that happened, they then were pushed back north, about 300 miles north, mm-hmm. and that's why they landed in Cape Cod, or they landed there on mm-hmm. in Massachusetts. Little did they know that God had providentially mm-hmm. put the only English-speaking Indian that could possibly help them when they came off. But his story is the miracle, because he was captured by the Spanish.
Okay.
And it was Squanto. They took Squanto back over to Spain he was going to be a slave. I mean, that's what they took him back as a slave. Mm-hmm. And when they did, he had time to learn. I think he had French and English under his belt by the time that he ended up in England. Then the Spanish let go of him and he went to England, and the English were like, well, what do you want to do? And he wanted to go back to his homeland. But by the time he got back to his homeland, all of his people had been wiped away from disease and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But he stayed in that place where his people were and joined another tribe. Mm-hmm. He came back a year before the Mayflower landed.
Wow.
He
Look came at God's back. Hand.
Right? Can you imagine? And then that first, I get goosebumps thinking about that first winter, there was 102 people. Half of them died because of the winter. It was so cold and they couldn't survive. But think about this. They had to see the sovereignty of God in the fact that Squanto was there in that clearing. I mean, I'm sure they were huddled down, freezing to death. Mm. And yet God had sent the only person that could have possibly helped them and given them guidance and direction.
Yeah, how to grow food, right? How to get through the winter.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was so much. And can you imagine 50 people? I mean, it was about around 50 people that survived that winter.
Wow.
And they pretty much had to start over. I mean, spouses lost each other, they lost children, you know, and just having to start over again once you've gotten to this new world.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Mayflower Compact was written because they had written one earlier and it wouldn't suffice for where they were. And I don't understand all of that because I'm not that smart. But what they did was between the people that were there, they came together and did the compact, which was the precursor to not only our Constitution, but also our Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. So in all of that, God had the providence of all of the... I mean, can you imagine the ocean? I can't even imagine crossing the ocean a ship like that.
In a wooden ship.
And then not knowing anything about the place you were going. They lived on their ship for over... I don't know.
You said 66 days or something?
No, that was just coming over.
Okay.
They didn't get off the ship for months. They built their houses while they were on the ship.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was quite the ordeal to get here, and just the providence of everything that happened to bring them in that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, there were other people that came over. The Spanish were over there. There were other.
Yeah.
But this was the actual founding of what we know as our Constitution and Declaration.
Mm. So the Mayflower Compact was the fundamental source.
It's the first governing document.
And it was very, very short. I look at it and I think about all the laws that we have today.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, oh, my goodness. They were so self-governing that they knew that if they did their neighbor wrong, I mean, you only had 50 people in their world at this point.
Yeah.
And so you had to take care of each other. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. just you weren't there for yourself. We've become such a selfish nation about what can I get? What can I do? How can I be? That is never, ever the platform that we should ever do anything from. It is always about, you know, what has God got for me to do for others?
And that I'm going to touch on this later in my report, but they depended on everyone sharing in and embracing Judeo-Christian morality.
Yes,
because they were Christian folk and they were biblically based. Their worldview was biblically based, and when you have a people who have embraced that kind of moral foundation, and they're capable of self-governing, and you don't have to have the raft of laws that have occurred since then. Mm-hmm. To make sure that nobody does anything bad.
Yes.
You know, as an example, when my folks bought their house in 1961, I saw the file they brought home. It was about that thick. It was about a half an inch thick. Mm. We bought our first house, and we were in Georgia in 1996. And that file was about 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
Because it contained all the forms we had to sign to promise we wouldn't do the bad things that the bank was afraid we do.
That's an indication of how our society
is,
isn't it? To just more rule of law to control the bad behavior.
Yeah,
but the bad behavior wouldn't be here if we were self-governing according to the nation, the laws of the Bible.
And we had a strong national moral conviction.
Yes.
And if there is something that is detrimental, you actually act on the laws that are there. I mean, there are laws. There's 10 commandments. Every law is built on
the natural law.
The natural law. And
it's
an interesting place we are right now, but we are definitely blessed. I mean, there's never been another country like this.
No. We live in the greatest country in America.
We do.
I mean, in the world, sorry.
We do.
Clearly.
But you were right, too. It's the greatest country in America.
We have to thank our pilgrims and all those that came here. To have our foundation that we have, that Stephanie just outlined.
They were seeking that freedom.
That's how much they loved the Lord, because they were oppressed from really practicing their faith back in England.
Mm-hmm.
That they sacrificed everything. And like you said, half of them died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they took the risk because of the value. Number one, if God said, you come here, I have a plan for you. We'll talk more about that. I think let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be back in about 2 minutes. And then we're going to go shift to another one of us that's going to add to what was just been said. know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response, and we're going to shift over to Keith now. Keith has some things he wants to share with us, so brother, go for it.
Well, we're just taking a big leap from, I think, 1620 to about 1776.
That's okay, yeah, because that's such an important, pivotal year.
It is. Mm-hmm. Because I was just telling the group here, that I just came back from watching The Great Awakening.
Yes.
Where Benjamin Franklin, and this is all, we're having this conversation because of May 17th, which is bringing, Trump is bringing the nation back to God. And that's what the purpose of this is. And our founding fathers who were, who brought this country together through the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution through the Word of God.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at, and that's why we're just jumping. We're leapfrogging right now into the 1700s. And George Whitefield was a evangelist, and Benjamin Franklin was a friend of George Whitefield's. George Whitefield wound up staying in his home, and Benjamin Franklin, who wasn't a true believer, but was a believer, knew God. He grew up as a pastor's son.
Mm-hmm.
So we came together. I don't know how to bring this in as that. And I mean, it just,
I think that the influence that George Whitefield had on Benjamin Franklin, that Benjamin Franklin was like the eldest statesman in the Continental.
Right.
He was like the old guy there.
And I think during that time period, as you're into the 1700s now, and you're having this, situation with England.
Yeah.
And the nation was starting to fall away from God. America was falling away from God.
That's why we needed an awakening.
And right, and that's why, right.
Which George it's funny how fast
that happened.
You see how that happened?
It's,
right?
It's very quick. I mean, our nation isn't that old to be in the place we are right now. And so that just shows that 100 years.
The first Great Awakening, yes, was 1730s to 1750s.
Yeah. Right.
So, like we talked about, the ship came over in 1620.
Right.
So you're right, like a century later.
Right. And right. So for that 100 years, I mean, things were shifting and away from God. And one of the things that happened when they were trying to write the Declaration of the Constitution of the United States.
Yes.
Not the Declaration, because they had already done that and separated from England.
Yes.
But when they were writing the Constitution of the United States, it came to notion from Benjamin Franklin that when they were in the Revolutionary War, they went to prayer, and that the House of Congress went to prayer every morning.
Yeah.
They started to slowly fade away from that.
Yes.
They started to slowly fade away from that, and Benjamin Franklin reinstated prayer back into the House of Congress because of George Whitefield and the Great Awakening. So you have some of the verbiage that Benjamin Franklin has over there.
If our listeners don't know, thank you for that really great introduction. We had all a representative from each of the 13 colonies were sitting in a room in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and they could not agree. Actually, I heard this morning when I was listening to to Rick Green, that a lot of them left because they gave up because they were such battling. You have like the small states versus the big states, and they didn't agree on how to draft a governing document. So Benjamin Franklin's like, whoa, we need to do something here. And that's what Keith was talking about, where he introduces that we need to ask God for his help. And this is part of his speech. It said, in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible to danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. And it said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And he says, we have been assured, sir, in the sacred writing, that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So he says, I therefore beg, and I know this is old English, I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business.
Prayer.
Yes.
Prayer.
And they're like, whoa, man, we cannot do this alone. God has to intervene. And look what happened. That's when it was birthed, the Constitution.
And that's why.
And it wasn't going to happen if God didn't intervene, because they were still fighting so much. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's why the purpose that what President Trump is putting together right now is it's designed to solemnly rededicate our country as one nation under God. And reflecting on God's role in American history and asking for his guidance for the next 250 years. And it draws on the on the Continental Congress's 1776 Declaration of May 17th as a day of fasting and prayer before the Declaration signing. Yes. So this is what President Trump is bringing back into this nation.
You know, you mentioned the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I've mentioned this on the radio before about that very scripture.
Yeah.
It does. Yes, we need to come back as a nation. And I think it's a great thing. And I'm putting in a little negative thing in here, but it's not a negative thing. I think we need to discern the word of God and see what it truly says in that scripture, because we need to come back as a nation.
We do.
But
absolutely.
How do you make the masses be the masses? It's one individual at a time going before the Lord with what your sin is. And I think a lot of times we don't take it back to that level. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, which are Christ followers, that's who he's talking about, right?
Yep.
Shall humble themselves.
Yes.
Yes, you can pray for the scourge that's on the nation, like abortion. But if you don't have abortion in your past, what is your sin that you have committed against God? It may be something yesterday. It may be something that you need to reiterate back in your own heart and life to say, God has saved me and given thanks for where he's brought you from. And it says, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, which means the individual's wicked ways. That's the self-governance again. It's back in that scripture.
You're talking about personal responsibility.
It is. Yeah. It's just personal responsibility before God in your prayers.
Yeah.
I mean, not just in what you do to your neighbor, but in my prayer before God, having that self-governance to say, I am dust.
Yeah.
You are God in heaven. You are, you are the omnipotent. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So that he forgives our sin, not as a nation, but as an individual. And then he heals land. And that's how it worked with them. They had to go back to the foundation of creation. I mean, that's what the Declaration of Independence. I mean, it's got that beautiful, beautiful words in there about the foundation. And it's like, that's what we're being called back to.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a national call. And I think that we need that national call, but we have to come back as individuals and be willing. I think it'll be so fun for you to be up there because when you have other people standing, it becomes a powerful thing. And that's why it's good as a nation
collectively
to come together as a collective nation. So anyway,
We do in the book of Job, he prays for his children.
Of course.
Right. He prays for his children, just in case they sin and he doesn't know about it. So he does pray for them. And I think what President Trump is doing here is actually he is... He is displaying God.
He's making the call.
Right.
Yeah.
He's making
Absolutely.
The call. He's displaying.
Certainly.
He's putting God on display.
That's right.
In the nation.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, he's
yeah.
kind of like a modern Benjamin Franklin, like that's bringing forth.
Right.
You know?
It's going to look different
right,
because
Keith?
There's not 13 people in a room, but yeah.
There's not. There's a lot more.
But look at how
But everybody's going to be watching it. Amen.
It's powerful.
Everybody's going to be seeing it, right?
I'm so excited for what's going to happen after this is done in the spiritual, how it's going to resonate in the natural. And I believe, like I said last week, the millions of souls that are going to be saved, because there's going to be miracles that are going to happen. I'm so, are you guys like expectant?
Oh,
I'm
I am.
So expectant.
Okay. So, absolutely.
Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Happy
or blessed.
Is that people.
Or right? blessed God. Is the nation whose
how
God
blessed,
is the Lord.
Right?
God. What, how many gods do we have before the Lord?
What do you mean?
Well, it says happy is who your God happy, who is the Lord.
Whose God is the
There's
Lord.
There's only one God.
Right.
One
then God. How many do we put in front
we,
of him? Self-idolization and
yes.
different idols that
we are idolatrous
exactly,
creatures.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Where was that found?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's Psalm 33:12.
Okay.
Psalm and Psalm 140.
I love that.
Oh, it's in two places.
Yes.
Okay. Praise God.
Yes. Yes. And as
Yeah. So David's gonna we're punting it to David.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a few minutes here.
Go for it, David.
To cover some ground. I was part of my job here today was to take a look at the church in America at the time before the revolution, up through that time in the 18th century, basically, and mm-hmm. and the state of the men and women who were being led by the Lord to form a new government and dedicate it to the Lord, because the belief was then, and many of us hold this belief today, and I believe it's true, that God is still interested in America. It was his invention, his He birthed this nation.
Absolutely.
And he continues to continue to have a profound interest in what we do for him. And he has a special plan for America. A lot of people who I've talked to this say, well, you're a Christian nationalist. And I will say, well, that's the left-leaning criticism
that's a term
of patriotism.
Been... Yeah.
And I'm a patriot. I can speak, I think, for everyone in this room.
We all are patriots.
We're all
proudly.
Patriots. And those that proclaim this are very patriotic. So I'm kind of a preamble here that I want to share with you. Because in my part of the program, I want to present several factual issues pertaining to the state of the church at the founding of America and the current state of the church here in the 21st century. And I want you already to appreciate the contrast. And when I use the word appreciate, I don't mean to celebrate the contrast and to say it's better today, because it's not. My presentation is rooted in the belief that God created America with a certain calling on its people mm-hmm. throughout time and into the present. And I do, if you don't listen to anything else I say or we say until the close of the program, please pay attention to what I'm about to say. I present the belief that while America has retreated from God's will for our nation, God never gives up on those whom he has called and is working today to restore our faithfulness to his original intent for the creation of America.
Mm-hmm.
Incumbent in the heart of my presentation is a specific theology that pertains to God's perfect planning and his unchanging nature. And this, you too can research by reading the Bible with this in mind, because it is in there. God's heart and his plans are presented in the Word of God, and I'm just lifting that out to speak about what God has done in and with and for America. In essence, the history of the people of God, evidenced primarily in the Bible, also included in church history, reveals consistently that God makes his plans, that they are meant to be sustained despite the passage of time, and that these plans reach fruition at the exact moment God intended, without deviation or interruption. The called involvement of God's people, that's us, throughout time, means a blessing for those who participate and a lack of divine favor for those who do not. Ultimately, although God's perfect will and omniscience prevail, the participation of the church is required by God throughout the ages as his plan develops.
Amen.
In other words, he doesn't plan anything without his people being involved.
Yes.
Toward this end, my position is the church must participate in God's plan for America, and this includes its restoration through national repentance. Keep in mind, mm-hmm. repentance leads to revival.
Yes.
Which yep. God has empowered today, and therefore this revival will lead to the church's needed restoration and therefore a re-engagement with the fullness of God's plan for America as we enter that season where the fruition of his plan begins in earnest. And of course, what I mean is we have entered that season and God's calling his church. But there is a contrast I want to share. We talked a little bit already about the early church in America and the reasons why the Pilgrims and the Puritans came here because of oppression in England. I mean, let's face it. In England, the government ran the church.
Yeah,
absolutely.
As they do today, by the way, in England. And
they
you can
do.
See the horrible...
The fruit of England is very bad.
Oh, it's very,
very
bad right now.
Yeah.
When a pastor is arrested for doing nothing more than sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
Not with any particular stated intent except
yeah.
for the word of God to be heard. Arrested and fined.
And they have some Sharia law out there as well.
Oh, there's some Sharia.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of conflicting. In other words, you can see the collapse of the Judeo-Christian moral system that influenced,
yeah.
even back in that day, in the early days of England, the development of law. So those people came here because of a religious oppression, spiritual oppression, and God led them here. God, by the way, this was not an accident. Nor
yeah, like
was
Stephanie
it,
said, yeah, they landed in.
Nor was it on the Mayflower, people praying for a place to go to exercise the freedoms of their faith, and then God decided, oh, well, I might as well send them to America. No. You got to remember, and this comes directly from Scripture, when God makes a plan, it began before he made anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Think, you know, that God, your life right now, this program, all of this, and everything else that is godly, God came up with the idea before he made creation. Before Adam and Eve ever walked in the garden,
mm-hmm.
before they sinned, before the enemy crawled into the tree to convince Eve to eat the fruit, before any of that, before any stars formed, before any water, mm-hmm. before there was anything but God, God had a perfect plan. He laid it all out, and he began it. And we read the beginnings of that in Genesis. But it continues. We have to remember this. And so when we speak of America
yes.
and God's plan, this was not accidental, nor was their arrival a last-minute change of opinion
mm-hmm.
by God. It was all ordained.
Yes.
So the
yes.
revolution. So when we come to the point when the people of God have been in America for a while, have grown, they've developed communities, the colonies have grown, and yet still under the oppression of the king and mm-hmm. the government of England, and we have then, you know, the first Great Awakening, as, well, Anne said, the 1730s to the 1750s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that time that the wonderful movie, A Great Awakening, which you referred to, when George Whitefield was actually kind of thrown out of England because he was preaching the gospel, and that very offended the church leaders of that day. They even called his preaching sorcery. But, you know, if you watch the movie, it's very... close to,
the Lord gave him such an amplified voice to speak to thousands without
voice.
A microphone.
No, not a microphone.
Yeah.
And it was also Holy Spirit driven. But anyway,
yes.
And there were others that were also involved in this first Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
But George Whitefield is kind of the lightning rod for that.
Yeah.
No reference to his work with Benjamin Franklin,
right.
type, by the way. But that's how God used him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a spiritual renewal. It was actually a
yes.
wholesale revival in
yes.
America.
There was a Northampton revival by Jonathan Edwards, which was huge in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There were others. George Whitefield is kind
that
of
was a big
the
one.
Face of that, but there were other Jonathan Edwards being another one. But God used these godly men and women to excite America, to revive America
yes.
again. And so from that, of course, the inspiration to seek independence from England came about. The church then, alive and well, viable, and biblical worldview that was driving the hunger for liberty
mm-hmm.
and which led to the American Revolution, Declaration of Independence first, which coalesced the beliefs of a nation, began to form that really in the heart of a nation of America in that document. And God moved powerfully through the church, and the church was the body of belief that energized, focused, and pointed the will of God to the people that would win the Revolutionary War against a great nation, much like David killing Goliath, right?
Yeah, that was a miracle.
That was a miracle, yep. Folks, and they knew this. And so it was following that great energy, spiritual energy, and the work of the church just abounded as they moved then into going from being 13 colonies to being one nation under God.
Amen.
However, we must also note that by the time we see, and again, that movie, A Great Awakening, when the Constitution, of the which would be the foundation for all of our laws,
yes,
of America, was being written, and this was in the 1790s, I believe.
What's the actual date? Well, it was adopted in 1780s.
1780s, right.
Yeah.
1780s. There had been a flagging of faith, and it was actually in the movie, and it's true, in truth, the movie reflects truth, that at that Continental Congress, it was Benjamin Franklin, it was referenced earlier, that he was the one referring to an earlier day in the formation of America where the leadership got together and started their meetings of prayer. And Franklin, remembering this, at this time in his life, being truly led by the Spirit, inspired those men in the Constitutional Congress,
yes,
to pray again, to invite again the Holy Spirit of God to move in that body. And out of that work, and out of again another renewal, the Constitution of the United States was written, and a tremendous foundational document. And of course, from there, the nation and the government formed around the divine truth that was given to these men in the construction of that document, a holy document, because of where it was inspired by God. Now, all of that, then, we look at the state of the church in that season was tremendous.
It was the preachers at the pulpit that were, like, basically saying...
Encouraging
them, you know? Freedom and liberty comes alone from God, first
Amen.
And foremost, not from government.
No, government does not provide rights.
Nope, it's God, all God.
God yep. provides the rights. The government is supposed to protect them.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes.
It's not doing a great job right now, but that'll change. So, okay, that's kind of that's a thumbnail sketch, if you will, because we don't have time for a deeper historical survey of America at the time of its founding. But I do believe we can see, if we compare the church today with that church, a Holy Spirit-led, anointed body inspiring a nation to grow with biblical values,
mm-hmm.
A nation to grow into self-governance as was really God's intent, to where we are today. Some of the value, and by the way, again, you can refer, you can go online and you can ask the right questions and you can get all these same results. But church attendance today, back in that day, church attendance was through the roof, you know.
Yeah.
And 80-90% of the people who claimed to be believers
yeah.
went to church on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Today, we have, I'm going to try to peel it forward to the average church attendance in the 21st century. While roughly 64% of Americans identify as Christian, only about 34% of those individuals attend church services weekly. This is Gallup, George Gallup polls came up with most of this data. According to Gallup, almost weekly attendance for the general U.S. population has fallen to roughly 31% as of 2025. So while there's over 50% of the Americans claim to be Christian, really only about 30-some percent claim to go to church regularly. Doesn't mean every Sunday, but it means regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another interesting thing, and this points to God's hand in America in terms of restoration, because what was I trying to say in the early part of my commentary is that God wants to restore America to be the nation he originally called, and he will do that,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to need the church. So what we're seeing is revival on the college campuses mm-hmm. have brought Gen Z and even millennials back into the church. And Gen Z reports almost going to church almost 2 weekends out of the month. That's an incredible increase. And I'm going to say I'm going to have to kind of ratchet back because we're running out of time here. But mm-hmm. the contrast is obvious.
Yeah.
If you do any research on what the state of the church is in America today, what I want to say is the decline in church attendance, the decline in the church's standing out in the in the public and speaking about the need for godly government.
Yeah.
Also shows us those voices are very few right now.
Yeah, it's sad because the enemy is using that to.
The enemy's using that
for sure.
But again, I want you to be upheld and encouraged by the fact that God is working revival in America.
He is.
Repentance has begun. And the voices of those of us who believe, who come to God in repentance for our own issues and sins, but also to lift up the sins of America, God is hearing that. And we're beginning to see revival not just on the campuses. We're beginning to see it in almost every demographic.
Yeah.
So, and that's a sign that God is going to get us back to where He wants us to be.
Yes.
And that's what I pray you will pray for, you will support, you will stand up and speak to.
Yeah.
Right now, of all the people we're speaking to, probably only about 20 to 30% are actually believing what we've just talked about.
And people need to live outside the four walls of the church, like share about Christ.
Amen.
And talk about how we need to get involved in civics and government. And then also, when you have revival, you also need reformation, which that should go hand in hand. And the reformation is the way that we live in society, reforming media, reforming government, reforming business. There needs to be a reformation that's going to take place. It is taking place.
Trust God. And this is what I'm saying. Do not despair.
But we have personal responsibility, as Stephanie said. Yep.
It's one thing to believe God, and I want you to do that. I hope you do that. But in believing God, He's going to have a work for you to do. If you're not doing it yet, you need to ask Him what it is. Yes, is it going to be scary? It might be. But God's always with you. Remember what He said to Jeremiah? Behold, I'll make you as a fortified city.
Yes.
As iron pillars and bronze gates. He will protect you. You don't have to worry about how the world doesn't like what we're doing, what we're talking about today. And what God's plan is, God started America. He will finish us in His time.
Yeah.
Trust Him.
Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for
Amen.
His grace.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, Keith, you know, time.
You had your Bible out, Keith. You got a scripture.
You got a last word for us, brother? No? Yeah?
I would read Psalm 20.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
If I have to step on Chuck Swindoll in order to do it, I will.
Okay, we were talking because there's some disruption now. If you go to Virginia, we're talking about keeping God in the country, and you're talking about what's going on with Virginia. They're looking to change the whole Constitution within the state of Virginia, and because of the redistricting situation that's going on.
Yep, do your Psalm.
Okay, so here's Psalm 20, and it reads, May the Lord answer you when we are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May He remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May He give you the desire of your heart. Make all your plans succeed.
Amen.
May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives you victory to His anointed. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call.
Amen.
That's
Hallelujah.
A beautiful ending.
Hallelujah. Thank you. That was a great ending. And in fact, we have to end sadly. No, we're not going to end sadly, but you know what I'm saying. We'll see you next. We'll be with you next week. You'll be with us. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have.
You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.